Welcome to Tampa Bay FM's Synergy Connection, where life as you currently live it can be transformed into the life you've always dreamed of. Understanding your synergistic connections is the pathway to your emotional, physical, spiritual, and mental wellness. Let's begin connecting the dots. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Synergy Connection Show. Chris Gibson is back with me this morning to talk about how to use video marketing to bring your company or your product alive. And I have seen this technique. He's shown me two of the videos he's done for people. And I'm actually having Chris do a video for me and the book that will hopefully be coming out in April called The Adventures of Miss Twiggs and Company. And it's the second edition of that book. But Chris, I think, is going to make the book come more alive than it would if it was just coming out on a regular basis. So before we begin the show, I want to remind everyone listening to go to my website, synergyconnectionradio.com, and click on the Boomer banner that's there. I've been saying since we started the shows in 2020 that our health and our attitude are the foundations of wellness. And if we have what I call, and you've heard before, stinking thinking, then our thoughts are going to keep us unhealthy, whether it's emotionally or physically. And additionally, if the food that we're fueling our bodies with doesn't really have the proper nutrition in it, and in many cases it simply can't because the soil is depleted. So whether we go organic or not, the soil is what that plant is growing in. So we're going to struggle being healthy physically. So look at the information that's on the Boomer's website and watch the videos. Maybe look at some of the blogs that are there. Trustpilot has a lot of recommendations. It is a 5-star company. So try to figure out how maybe 2020 is going to become your best year so that you're living your best life. So now we're going to get back to the discussion of what we're going to talk about today. And Chris is a holistic health expert. He refers to himself as the hardest working guy in skincare. He authored the book a number of years ago called Acne Free in 3 Days. And he's been featured on Good Morning America, The Daily Buzz, and a lot of other talk shows, of course, including this one. So welcome back, Chris, and we'll just pitch it over to you and talk to us about what it means to have a video that represents your brand or yourself.
Well, it's a really timely topic because most people probably are aware that video imagery has become like the thing, you know, with the proliferation of YouTube and TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram videos and Instagram TV. And
you have to learn how to use all of it.
The only one that doesn't have video really is Twitter, but you can put a video up on Twitter. You can put a link and it'll pull the video up on Twitter.
I didn't know that.
So the what's happening is that people are catching up with technology and the availability to have access to things that are visual where they don't actually physically have to read something. Mm-hmm. So it makes it really important to understand that that's changing marketing too. Mm-hmm. You know, you're much more likely now to see a video clip ad on CNN or anything you're looking at online than you are just a text ad. And the reason for that is the video can convey a whole lot of information in a whole little bit of time. So it may take a person 5 minutes to read an article that's maybe, say, 1,000, 1,500 words long. It can take them 5 minutes to get through that, 5, 10 minutes, depending on their distractions.
Right.
Whereas a video can convey that same information in usually about 2 minutes.
Okay.
So if it's done properly. So for marketing of anything, a book or anything in a business, a product, any of those things, if you don't have video content, you really are missing a huge segment of the audience. Plus, it's the preferred vehicle of distribution for most platforms like Facebook. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, YouTube.
Well, television ads, I mean, forever.
Yeah, so now when you Google something, just about anything, there will be two of the sponsored ads, of course, always at the top. Mm-hmm. And then there's usually, well, no, it's not usually, always, unless there's no video available, there will be a section below those two ads that shows videos. Videos on that subject or on that product or what
and it tells you how long they are too, yeah. Doesn't it?
So the other thing is, do you really want videos of your product or business or book from other people showing up, or do you want to be the one to own that space? Mm-hmm. So it's become a really powerful way to present your brand message or your missions message or whatever, and to also control some of that as it's seen online. So it's really, and it's not a hard tool to use. Now, I know I say that because I do it, and it was like, I video, I don't want to be on video. You can do so much. You can have someone do the talking for you. Mm-hmm. You can have a music, visual, and text only, which is a lot of the things that you saw, which were the book trailers.
Right.
You don't necessarily need a voice. On there, you know, we'd all like to have some great person's voice on there, like Morgan Freeman doing the audio part. You can do voiceover, so it just really depends. It is very flexible media for almost every type of thing you can think of.
So once they have like a finished product, if somebody wanted to do a video like I'm doing with you, mm-hmm. and they got hold of you, once you give them a finished product, how do they go about using it?
Yeah, just upload. You can upload it. You can put it on your website.
Like upload it to Facebook?
You can upload it to Facebook. You can create a YouTube account. You don't have to go through all the motions of having a channel. You simply upload it to your YouTube. It is a channel, but you don't have to like have a YouTube channel that you're, like I do, operating out of.
Right.
You just need a YouTube account. That's a better way to put it. You'd load that up, and YouTube's going to give you a link that you can place anywhere. That will work anywhere. I mean, it's a link.
So just then like it's a website up to link. That individual to use it on a daily basis, right. Or multiple times.
Or
a
you
day.
can take the MP4 file, uh-huh. which is like an audio file, and almost every website software now has the option or the ability for you to upload a video as a file on your website. So you have a continual loop of. You know, our friend and publisher Ginger's doing that this weekend at the book fair in Dunedin that she's at. I didn't even show you that one.
I created a
business trailer for her.
Okay.
For document publishing, so that it's a loop that's playing in her. It's like a trade show. It's playing in the background, and it tells a story. The important thing to understand about video marketing is much like going to see a movie. Mm-hmm. You want to get your, and I don't care what it is, it can be stock investing. People make decisions based on emotions.
Yes, they do.
I don't care what, you know, they'll use their head
to
some
degree. They
have to
feel it in their heart.
But they got to feel it.
Yeah.
And nothing gets through to a human like music and imagery that tells a story and leads them to some conclusion.
Right.
Okay. So, for instance, you know, I did a mystery book, so... In that video, we used mysterious music, and I used a lot of imagery that told the clips that told the story from the book and put them together in an order to tell a story that moved the person without, and it had text at the bottom telling pieces of it.
Right.
But basically what it did was it led the person through the mysteriousness to whether does the hero or heroine die, something bad happens, do they make it or do they not? And then it just drops off and it says, you know, you got to read the book to find out. So you're with video and music and text, you're able to do that so much more effectively than an ad.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Much more effective than your book cover.
Absolutely.
You know, even your synopsis. A person has to read that and interpret that. Is this a book I really want to read or not? And writing that out and keeping a person's attention is a lot harder than with video. You can do all those things I just said in a 1-minute video. And you've seen them.
Yes, I have.
And they're powerful.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, they captured me. I mean, that's why I made the decision to have one done, is that you're caught up in it almost instantly. And you almost hold your breath in the one you're talking about, yeah, because you're like, what is going to happen here? And if there's a button there that says, you know, order or purchase, they're going to click on it because they go, I need to know what happens.
What is funny is I have done book marketing for people for almost 10 years now. And the book trailer videos are a new thing that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started doing those about 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago. And the funny thing is I have a group of people that when I'm doing marketing or helping someone launch a book, I send the book copy out to, the marketing out to, they look at it, they read it, you know, they come back, this is good, or this didn't move me, or whatever. We do that. So before we launch. So when I sent the book trailers out, and this had never happened before, I sent a book trailer out on a self-help book, and these guys are usually like mysteries and children's, but it's usually not self-help. I sent the trailer out for that book and they all bought the book from the trailer. And I'm like, well, you didn't have to buy the book. That wasn't the point. But then I was like, oh, wow. So
it works.
It just reaffirmed how powerful that video was for people. You need this. If this is going on in your life and this is going on in your life and this is going on in your life, here's a way you can make that better. Get the book. Basically, it's a simple message.
Mm-hmm.
So... it's just a powerful medium, and it's so flexible.
So if I'm a business person and, you know, my company sells widgets, or maybe I'm a hair designer, or maybe I'm, you know, have ice cream, you can do the same thing for them.
Yeah, you can do the same thing, and I'll take it even a step further. I think that video testimonials are really powerful, too.
Mm-hmm.
So video as a medium is just... it makes such a big difference and such a big impression on a person because it's there. It gets in their head much faster than reading something does and trying to determine, you know.
You know, I think, I mean, this is different, you know, television, obviously, than these kind of videos. But I don't know whether you saw that Mr. Peanut dies in the one of the ads that's going to be on the Super Bowl. Had you heard that?
Yeah.
Okay, so... you know, the image of Mr. Peanut after all these years, like 100 and some odd years that he's been around, and he gives his life, you know, as he's going down into the canyon so that the other two hanging on the branch can live, you know, that is an image. And you, and when you're talking about what stays with people, it's very seldom words that stay with them.
Unless
it's like a little slogan of some sort. But it is the picture in their mind of something from a movie.
And people have been doing that all along. When you read a book, the books that move you most, your mind images that.
Yes.
You paint a picture. Good writers paint pictures in your head.
Right.
You know, good radio personalities paint pictures in your head. How many people have met their favorite radio personality before social media? Because now we all pretty much know what everybody looks like ahead of time.
Uh-huh.
But you would have this voice and then you would meet the person and you're going, wow, you don't look anything like I thought at all. Not even close. You know, so it's one of the things that we do, and it's not a new ability. Our intelligence has been centered around that since we began evolving.
Right. I mean, you know, caveman drew pictures.
Yeah, it was all about imagery and what things looked like, and that's why we have that reticular thing that was seeded in us many, many, many eons ago, where if I get something in my head, now I see 15 of them. I've never seen a yellow car in that model before. Now I bought one. Everybody has one. Well, they were all there before.
You just didn't see it.
Right? So so you take a little bit of advantage of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps the retargeting that goes on with a product or a book or anything else. If you get an image in a person's head, when they see the ad for that, or a textual ad or whatever, a graphic ad, they're much more likely to recognize it and notice it if they've seen video first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it makes a big, big difference in that whole chain of events.
Think of something that you knew that was true of, that you either ate or purchased recently.
Myself?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. the chicken sandwich at Popeyes.
Okay. All right.
Because I love their whole thing that they took leverage on Chick-fil-A. Mm-hmm. Whether you agree with any of that stuff or not, they did a good job leveraging that. Mm-hmm. It was funny, you know, more flavor, less hate. Like it was pretty crafty. So they took that, and I was curious, and then I was like, well, I don't know if I really want it. I'm going to go wait in line because Popeyes is ridiculous. You know, Chick-fil-A should have come by and say, yeah, well, you get your food while it's still hot. Because Popeyes is forever to get your food if you get that chicken from there. Uh-huh. So I saw an ad of the sandwiches where they did the comparison. I was like, you know, I really want to try that. That looks really good. So, of course, I went down and I was going to either live up to it or not. That's right. The next thing you've got to live up to your, you know, any of your advertising, and it was really, really good. But I think I enjoyed it more because I had seen it and been playing with that in my mind, mm-hmm. what it was going to look like, what mm-hmm. it was going to smell like, because I could see that in the ad. So mm-hmm. I made that visual connection.
Yeah, I think maybe even like vacation destinations, they do that with, you know, mountains, water.
Yeah, you know, the real estate has been doing that to us for years, mm-hmm. textually. Mm-hmm. There's all the jokes about if it's a quaint cottage, it's a shack.
Right.
If it's mid-range price, it's over $500,000, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, three bedrooms, one can be used as an office. It's always a closet. Size bedroom, no
a
one can
say.
View
of the water.
View of the water. It's like, you know, a ravine. Right. So you know, and then real estate is a really good industry to pick on, because then they begin, and actually kind of were the first ones doing this. They, if you think about it, back about 20 years ago, they started the whole staging process in the houses where you mm-hmm. came in and they were staged. But then they got smart and did video instead of just pictures. You know, you go on Trulo or whatever, you scroll the pictures. Mm-hmm. Well, now they're mm-hmm. starting, you're seeing the videos. And a lot of realtors, independent realtors, were doing that first. Going out and filming the, or selling that service, mm-hmm. filming the house, because they could control, you could add music.
True.
And you could control that experience of that house a lot more with video than you could just with images.
Mm-hmm. And you know, could almost imagine living there.
Right. And the hard thing with images is what I just said. You know, they use the best pictures, and then you drive out, and if they haven't mowed the grass for 2 weeks, you're like, well, this looks like, I don't want to live here. So a video really re-entrenches something into a person's space. So,
you know, before we started, you and I were talking a little bit about how the law of attraction, if you will, and you know, Esther, and of course Jerry's deceased now, but you know, Abraham made remarks through Esther about how to create your reality. And in a way, you know, this type of video marketing is creating that reality.
It's like a microcosm. It's like the what's the picture of the mirrors, and it goes.
Yes, yeah, exactly.
It's exactly right. It's what movies did mm-hmm. in the 1930s, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, mm-hmm. created realities, and we believed in those.
Right.
Everybody believed in those ridiculous movies where people clean toilets in their pearls and their high heels. Nobody did that for real. I can remember my mother going, "That's the biggest crock." She didn't like June Cleaver too much.
No, she didn't.
No.
Okay, leave it
She thought
Beaver.
That was the most you know, and I, of course, I was a child of the 60s, so they were reruns. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for my mom was a young person in the 50s. She's in her 20s, and she's like, really? So who does that? So, but people believed that. You know, it's the imagery, and not to go dark on all this, but a lot of the wars that we have had, the propaganda mm-hmm. has been the same way. They've taken video images and repurposed them and told stories that weren't true to try to move people to do what they wanted them to do. It still goes on today, actually, so mm-hmm. we'll leave that alone. But so you have to be discerning.
Right, right.
But it is a very, that just goes back to the testimony that it is such a powerful way to tell any story, you know. People often will say, I saw it on TV, so I believe it. you know, more so now they said that about the internet, which is kind of scary. But at least there were rules on television about truth in advertising and what you could show. And
I guess on Facebook, they've decided that it doesn't have to be true.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's really wonky. But if you're advertising, so we're going to stick to that subject. If you're advertising, you need to be honest in your advertising, but you do want to present the benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at HoverRound Mobility, and they show people who have not been able to do anything suddenly be able to get around because of a scooter that's light, that a person can actually handle. And remember when those things first came out, they were like the ones at Walmart. You'd see people stuck in those all the time. A disabled person or an elderly person that has a full range of motion couldn't do that.
Right.
So now that's shame, but they had to reintroduce because people were like, oh no, I tried to drive one of those at Walmart and it was a mess. I'm not doing that again. So they had to overcome that, and the way they did that was showing a lot of video where what the impact of that device was on a person's life or their quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really powerful. You can take all the benefits and you can put them in a video that's 1 to 2 minutes long, and you can really convince a person that they need to look deeper into that or that they want to buy something.
You know, one of the ones that comes to my mind that you're talking about right now, that people that don't want to leave their home, but they have stairs to contend with, and they have the chairlift, and they use the video to show somebody going up and down the stairs and being able to get off safely on maybe the level where their bedroom was. And they don't have to sell their house, you know, that they still love. So again, it reaches in and touches the heart.
Yeah, because you're not just saying you can solve a problem, you're showing out a problem. So now I'm going to bring up something really funny about video. If you think about it, when you look at the weight loss industry as a whole and the ads, think about the commercials, and everybody who's listening should think about it. We've all seen them. They're on TV all the time. Isn't it interesting that they still use still shots of before and still shots of after?
Yeah, that's true.
Do we all know why?
I have no idea.
Because you can capture an image in a still shot that looks really thin versus a person moving around in a video talking.
Oh.
So you're not going to see as much of a difference
as
you can when you, and I won't say that those pictures are altered, but you can do a lot of things with, you don't have to airbrush, you can do a lot of things with altering lighting and all of that stuff. So you won't see those too much on the weight loss industry. I always wonder why you don't show a person who is really suffering with weight and having a difficult time getting around and show their new life, or they're going to the store and buying healthy food, or they're out playing with the kids. The videos aren't there. I just find that fascinating. So hopefully they'll catch up. So, you know, you might think, well, I always talk about, and we won't get in trouble for this because they're not in business anymore, but the funniest thing to me ever back in the 80s was the weight loss companies like Stacker and FinVin and all of those. The owners would come on the television and talk about the benefits of taking their pills to lose weight, and they would be huge. They would be overweight, like a lot overweight. And they sold thousands of those. You can't get away with that anymore. In our new environment of social media and photo, you know, people alter those filters and you can stretch something. Nobody believes what they see. But with video, you can't really do that.
Hmm.
With video, you can't really alter a video to make a person look thinner.
That's true.
You can't. No. Unless it's CGI and nobody can afford that anyway. Even the Hollywood studios have a hard time affording all of that. So it's still, video rings truer. The point is, video rings truer to people. Mm-hmm. A video of someone talking about with something different that rings a lot truer is seeing them move around with their kids or seeing the person. That's why people love her. That's what, that whole push is what pushed reality TV out. Not that it's reality TV, because that's not reality TV, but they call it that. But you know, that's what made people hungry for that was, okay, it's not retouched, it's raw, it's not all dressed up.
Right.
So, and YouTube is, you know, which is my favorite platform, is the same way. The people that do the best on YouTube are the people that just do videos that are very honest, and you don't even have to have the greatest personality. You don't have to have the best vocabulary. You don't even have to be the smartest person on a topic. and there are people on YouTube that far out make the money and far out have influence than Hollywood's A-listers. Just talking about this with somebody this morning that's going to the Oscars, to cover the Oscars, a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that, how it's interesting that that is still in place, but it's got to really shake some of them up, that someone can go on YouTube and have, you know, 8 million, 10 million followers, be making way more money than they make on their movies ever, and have that sphere of influence, and they're a celebrity. And they didn't have to go to Hollywood or sign a contract or be a SAG person or any, they didn't do any of that stuff. So that's the power of video. That's what I'm trying. You know, there have been personalities that have gone on YouTube and tried to take their television. Like, even I had to like learn. I had to unlearn TV because I did so much live television. I had in my head a certain way of being on camera. I mean, you just pick it up over time.
Mm-hmm.
I had to undo a lot of those habits.
What did you have to undo?
I had to undo the polishedness.
Okay, just to be real.
To be real. Like we were talking about, I leave bloopers in every once in a while, depending on what it is and what kind of language came out of my mouth.
Right.
Sometimes I have to edit that out. But people want realness.
Mm-hmm.
So if your videos can be real and tell a story, if you've, I'm talking more for the product people, the people that have something that solves something for someone.
Right.
Now in books, it's kind of opposite because we're talking about a fantasy, a story.
Right.
And the idea of the story is to move and teach or entertain. That's what books do. They move you, they teach you, or they entertain you. Sometimes they scare you.
Sometimes
they bore you.
Right.
And you go to sleep. But, you know, but mostly...
I don't read those all
mostly
the way.
they're there to move you, teach you something, or entertain you.
Mm-hmm.
So the video trailers for books are a little bit different because those are a show. Because usually it's images that represent the story in the book or the characters in the book.
Well, to me, it's a lot like a movie trailer.
Yes.
Because when I am thinking about going to see a particular movie, I look at the trailer. And if the trailer doesn't attract my attention all that much, it's like, nah, I probably wouldn't like it.
Yeah, and we don't like it when the trailer does not present what the movie is about at all.
No, and I've gone to those, and I'm like, whoa, this
Mr.
is not
Mr. Rogers?
Yes, unfortunately.
Not that it wasn't a good movie, it wasn't presented that it was going to be like that.
No, that was a very sad and honest look at a dysfunctional family. And that's not what I thought I was going to see. So I was, I kind of sat there at the end of that movie and thought, wow, what did I just watch? Because it almost felt like I was watching, I mean, as a psychotherapist, like I was watching a psychotherapy movie. And that was really interesting.
It was not the life and times of Mr. Rogers.
No, it was not. It was not. And Tom Hanks did a wonderful job. You know, of acting, but it was just presented differently.
Yeah, the trailer was clips of him, and you're thinking, oh, this is going to tell the story of how he got started doing that.
And his puppets.
And all of that. We're going to learn all of the backstory. It's going to be really cool because most everybody grew up with that. I think they still show some of those shows in some places. Boom, that's not what it is at all.
No,
not even really central.
Right. And remember the one scene in there where he is trying to manage his anger and he's playing the piano? Well, I never knew that he was a concert pianist, just about. But you saw a lot of anger come out in different ways through Mr. Rogers' character.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was different.
Yeah, today we would see that and go serial killer. Repressed individual. Serial killer.
Maybe.
You know, but for the times when that show was on, it was a teaching show. It was like Sesame Street has evolved over the years, too.
Right.
All of those things, those shows, I was a kid. So I remember them being very sugary.
Mm-hmm.
Not lifelike at all. And, you know, so you're thinking, what's wrong with my family? We're not like that at all. No one hangs their sweater up. I throw it on the couch and get yelled at and I have to take it in the, you know. So it presented, not to get off on a tangent on him, but it seems like I look at a lot of that period of TV and it's a transition of where families really were versus where they thought they should be versus where they believed it used to be, which it was never. My mother said there was never. My mother was very, very straightforward about dysfunction or anything, people doing drugs. I mean, cigarette smoking, my parents were really, I guess they were kind of liberal with that stuff. But they got talked about it. We didn't have that sugary family life. And, you know, and you thought you were something wrong with your family, and then you start going to your friends' houses and they don't have it either. Well, who are these people on TV? Right. And that's why my mom used to say, she said, the biggest fraud ever perpetrated, and this is, lots has happened since then. Keep in mind, this is in the 70s. The biggest fraud perpetrated on the American people is June Cleaver cleaning the bathroom in pearls and high heels.
Right. Right.
Because and having a full course meal ready when her husband comes in. With two teenage boys.
Exactly.
She's like, bull beep. You know, so.
Well, even all in the family, you know, with Archie and Edith. I mean, he walked in the front door and she came from the kitchen in a scurry to make sure his dinner was right on the table.
Who does that?
Yeah.
Well, my grandparents didn't do that. They were respectful. I won't say my grandparents were respectful, but my, no. I didn't grow up in that. I didn't see that at any level. Right. Respectfulness and, you know, respecting your elders, all of the core values that people talk about, but none of that. None of that.
Going back to using videos in a constructive way, how do you feel about what's going, you know, on with all of the videos that are coming forward with helping save the animals in Australia? I mean, there's a tremendous number.
Yeah, you know, the thing that I try to remember is that these, well, first of all, it's visual, so it's very impactful. And, you know, the SPCA and Humane Society have been after us for years for donations, doing the same thing. Showing the dog chained to the fence in the snow. And it for most humans, it gives you a sense of outrage. For the Australian thing, it's not outrage as so much a feeling of loss, even if you've been there for that country and their animals. I think the video helps as long as it's not. I think there's a line. You can get grotesque. And it can turn people off and actually subvert what you're trying to accomplish.
Right.
You know, I think that rather than showing people, this is my personal opinion, I think videos showing the rescuers and how hard they're working and how they're saving animals and how animals are recovering and how they can recover the forestation and all the things they need to do is a much more appealing video to get a donation than look at all the dead animals smoking in the grass. Yes. You know, it's just, that's not, that's shocking. And people have got in their heads for some reason, and probably from politics is where a lot of this has come, that we need a shock factor to do anything. We don't need a shock factor. I on my Facebook, I scroll past that. And if a person continually posts that stuff, I unfollow them. Because I'm not going to look at that. Because in the end, you're feeling bad, and this goes back to the law of attraction, but you're feeling bad about something and feeling gross and awful is not contributing to the solution.
Right, exactly.
You are pulling more of that in rather than... So acknowledge that it's there and move on from it. Don't douse yourself in it. And then do what you feel moved to do, like whether it's donate or... You know, because that can happen anyway. You, what I find fascinating about that whole thing is that happened in California the last 2 years.
Yes.
The same exact thing. But the American media focuses on Trump and his ideas and the government of California and their ideas and people losing their homes. Just the same thing. There were animals that were, do you think we had forests in California that have no animals?
Exactly. Exactly.
No squirrels, no rabbits.
Birds.
You know, no sloths, no nothing that live in California. No, none of the animals that live in California were harmed, and that just people lost their homes. But that's, there again, the power of the video.
Right.
It's the power of the message through imagery.
Right.
They didn't show you that.
Right.
Occasionally, they would show you something and talk about, you know, there's been a loss of wildlife. So, but people, you know, Australia markets itself as a very wild and wonderful place, like a zoo. So in most people's heads, you know, it's like the zoo was on fire.
Right.
You know, there's less, you see less coming out of Australia about the people who died and the people who lost homes than you would in America, because the value of the imagery that those people hold about their country is much different than here.
Right. Well, that's true. It's very different. That's a very good point to make, because they did show homes that were rubble.
Here, that's all you'd see.
But exactly.
You wouldn't see the carcasses, to use a terrible word.
Right.
But these things happen, and it's our job to rise to the occasion and try to make things better. You know, we can't control fires.
No.
So you can blame the person who threw the cigarette out or the lightning strike or what have you. None of that, going back, and that does not make, it doesn't change anything.
Mm-mm.
What we have to do is look for solutions. What can we do better? How can we fight these things before they get out of control?
Right. So maybe people that are environmentalist or naturalist or people that want to make a difference right where they are, you know, in our case, it's Florida. Somebody else might be in a different
state. Yeah, we get brush fires here too.
Yeah, but maybe if they're a water company, if they're an electric company, if they're, you know, maybe a startup business, using a video that speaks to their values.
Yeah, exactly.
And how they can utilize that to appeal to the heart and the mind of the person that might use their products and see that it's not all about profit, but that it's also about somehow giving back to that area.
Yeah, because we're all in it. That's my favorite Abraham phrase. We're all in it together.
Yes, we are.
Whether you like it or not. Unseen, seen, everybody's in this together. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I don't like to push against things, because I've learned in 50-some-odd years now that does not work.
No.
So I don't think I have ever seen a video that was distressing that made me open my wallet. I can't think of one instance where I saw something and went, oh, I have to give for that.
Right.
But I have seen videos where the Red Cross was working to help people in the tsunami or in Haiti. And I have seen videos where animal rescuers have gone into a farm and gotten 15 cats and 39 dogs and saved them. I've given to those causes because they're moving something forward.
Right. I love the ones that have to do now with, like, animal therapy, because we know that with PTSD victims, if they're with dogs, if they're with cats, if they're with horses, you know, that so many times it makes a huge difference, and yet the organizations still struggle, you know, for the food bills.
Yeah, I'll give you an example, and then we can extrapolate on this. St. Jude Hospital for Children does an excellent job with video showing the treatments, the survival, people. It's very positive.
It is.
In nature.
It is.
And it makes you want to give money. You want to be a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not pushing against cancer. You're helping them.
Survive.
Those videos are really uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
They don't show dead children.
Right.
To get you to send you. But that's what they're doing in the other stuff.
I know.
That's how people go, well, that's not the same. Yes, it is the same. Showing starving lions and showing me smoking carcasses on the plains of Australia is not the same thing.
Right.
I get it.
Mm-hmm. But one appeals to, like, a shock value that makes your heart hurt.
Yeah.
And the other one makes your heart open.
And the other thing is, you know, then there is... And I disagree with environmentalists on this. Then it's shoving it in everybody's face and seeing your lifestyle cost. You are not going to get anywhere with anything pushing against something or a person.
Right.
Didn't work with your dad. Didn't work with your mother. Doesn't work with your children. It isn't going to work with people that don't even know you that well. So why people think that's the way to go, I don't know. It's not going to work. Certainly doesn't work with me, which shocks people. Because I come off as a very nice person. I think I am a very nice person. Very reasonable. But people are genuinely shocked when they try to manipulate me, and I go,
because
I'll say, you're not going to knock me off my path. I'm in a really good mood, and I'm sorry you're having a really bad day, but not today.
Right.
And they're like, I'm like, yeah, you're not going to assert.
Right.
You can't assert anything.
I want you to tell the story about the pennies and the quarters.
Oh.
I think this is so
This perfect. Has nothing to do with the video, except that on my new show, I may actually do a video on this.
And your new show is going to be about
Life Reimagined.
Okay.
It will be a podcast and a new YouTube channel.
Okay.
And it's basically reinventing yourself, which we do every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the premise is every day is a new day to reinvent yourself. But, you know, most of us wait till we're 50 and go, oh, I need to reinvent myself. So one of the law of attraction games that mm-hmm. you can play with yourself to prove that it's real is the penny game.
Mm-hmm.
And that is saying, I'm going to manifest pennies. Now, you don't walk around looking at the ground for pennies and running into walls. You just say, I'm going to manifest pennies. You write it down
mm-hmm.
on a piece of paper and you just set it down. And what you'll find is over the next day, sometimes it's really right away, sometimes that, but over the next day, you know, week to 10 days, you will find pennies. Not going around looking for them on purpose. They will just show up. And everybody plays that game. It works.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they go, that's not going to work. They find a penny. I never find pennies and I found a penny. It's like, yeah. The degree that you find pennies is your resistance. So if you go 9 days and you found one penny, and usually the universe can figure out a way to get a penny through there, because most of us don't care about pennies.
Uh-huh.
They don't see the value in it. So it's easy. So I took it up a notch. So I'm not going to do the penny game. I'm going to do quarters. Because quarters are, most people will not let a quarter go.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I picked it. Most people, if they drop a quarter, they will move furniture for a quarter.
To look
for. Not a penny. Oh, it's a penny or a dime or I don't care about that. Yeah. But a quarter, people will go after. So they're harder, right? Uh-huh. You should be harder to. But because I made a game of it and was light of it, there were four of them over the course of about 6 days, and they were in the oddest places. One was in an Uber I got, and I looked between my feet. Was a quarter. I'm like, oh, look, a quarter. And then we were in a restaurant, and I looked on the floor. There was a quarter. I was like, well, okay, what's a restaurant? Somebody just dropped it. But it's a, you know, it's a brick floor. And then there's the thing is you're not supposed to question how it got there
mm-hmm.
because you're rendezvousing with the quarter.
Exactly.
Whether it was dropped or not just doesn't really matter. It really doesn't. The law of it's just you got it's putting you where the quarter is.
Right.
So then we go to another restaurant, and I pull out the chair, and I heard the quarter drag the floor. I would have never looked under the table because I wasn't looking for them. But because I was rendezvousing with that quarter, as I pulled it, I heard that, and I knew it was a quarter. And sure enough, it was a quarter.
Uh huh.
Okay. And then I found another one on the sidewalk. And then it just at that point, it's like, this is ridiculous. Now, here's where it gets really crazy. The year on the quarters was the same.
All four?
On all four quarters.
Oh, that is very interesting. And what was the year?
I don't even remember now.
I thought maybe it was your birth year.
No, it was not a special year. I think it was like 1995 or something like that. But they were the same on every quarter.
Oh, wow.
So I have the quarters at home on a shelf.
Uh-huh.
Under death threats to anyone who touches them when they come over. Those quarters better be there because that's my reminder of how easy it really is to right. manifest things because the law of attraction brings it to you without effort. It's not about efforting.
Uh-huh.
So then Thanksgiving, this was in the fall. Thanksgiving, we go to Fort Lauderdale and I'm sitting in a restaurant bar thing and I look down and there's a $10 bill. Now all the people at the table know about the quarter thing. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh my God, it's a $10 bill and there's no one around it. What should we do? I'm like, pick it up. It's a $10 bill. Yep. We just run it. You know, we bought, something. I don't know, we bought like appetizers or something. We spent the money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's, everything is like that.
Right.
But nobody, you know, no, it's not. No, it's hard. It's hard to find $10. I'll find $10. And then you followed up with this story with your own.
Yes. Well, I told you about there were two things that are all about abundance. But the one that fits in with the money end of it is that I was walking into a store, a shop actually, where I was getting ready to have a haircut. And there wasn't a lot of people around. I was the only person. And as I'm heading towards opening the door, something caught my eye on the left-hand side. And I looked over and I thought, well, that's, you know, it was a folded bill, but I had no idea whether it was a one or just, you know, what it was. And when I picked it up, it was a $20 bill. And so I got the message immediately that I wasn't supposed to keep it. I was supposed to circulate it, basically was the word I heard, was circulate the money. And so I ended up buying something in this particular salon, and you know, the money stayed there. And so it was just very cool. The other one that I shared with you, and anybody who does any kind of cooking will know how unusual this part is, but back in November, I was making scrambled eggs, and a friend was with me. And so as I was cracking the first egg into the bowl, it was a double yolk. And those don't happen that often anymore. And then the second one was a double yolk. And I was like, you've got to be kidding me. And the third one was a double yolk. And the fourth one was a double yolk. And so I contacted the company that actually creates these eggs with their chickens, and let them know that they had very, very happy chickens that were creating all of these double yolks. But one in a trillion is the number that I was given when I was Googling. There's like one in a thousand will be a double yolk of all the eggs that are out there. But when you start going incrementally up in doubles, for four, it was one in a trillion that would happen.
Definitely a prosperity message, right?
Definitely a prosperity message. And I think, you know, when we start getting sort of attuned to, you know, our guides, our angels, our whatever it is, you know, that are giving us, I just say the universe is always bringing gifts to us. But when we begin to understand that and be aware of it, it just happens with greater frequency.
And how clever for the universe to have us tell the story, because how many double yolk eggs did you have?
Four.
How many quarters did I have?
You had four. Yes.
So, ding, if you don't get a little chill out of that, just that you're not living. So it's all this serendipitous stuff that goes on that we don't see, but when you start to recognize it and see it, you see more of it, and then it starts to teach you, because I love that. I do love the Abraham Hicks thing that words don't teach, life teaches. So when you start seeing this stuff happening and you experience it yourself, it's a whole different ball game than hearing someone tell you how it is.
It
starts to resonate with you, and you get more of it and more of it and more of it, because the law of attraction is like a mirror. It brings back exactly where you are. So, you know, it doesn't run out and get you things that you want. It is where you are. So I love the thing about accepting where you are right now as perfect. Oh, but I don't have enough money. Oh, I don't have enough clients. Oh, I don't have enough. This isn't moving fast. If you can let all that go for a few minutes a day and just be happy with where you are, because it's really all we ever are is right here, right now.
Mm-hmm.
Any book, Eckhart Tolle, Wayne Dyer, any of them, living or dead, will tell you that the biggest pivotal thing you can do is understand it now is all it is. And you just regurgitate. Just take it to the next minute, what you had, and that you are just perpetuating, because it's a new minute. It's a new second. It's a new moment.
Right, exactly. Oh. I think, and I'm included in this, I'm learning how to live in the moment. Because
we're physical. We have a lot of distractions.
Well, not only a lot of distractions, but I think there's a lot of, if you will, responsibility, commitments, things like that as you grow up. Children can live in the moment much more easily than an adult who has a job, a spouse, kids, a house, you know, bills. Then you start thinking about, oh my goodness, I have to do X, Y, Z. And that is projecting you out into the future. And the future never, ever arrives.
No.
And people don't understand that.
There is no such thing.
It doesn't exist.
You can prepave it, but it exists vibrationally. It doesn't exist physically.
Right.
And so much is changing and dynamic on the way. It never looks exactly the way we think it's going to be. Anyway.
No, that's true.
Very rarely is something even close. The feeling is, it's not that you won't get the feeling of, the feeling that you have for the future where you feel more secure, you're more successful, the feeling of, the vibration of, is, but the way it looks and the way it comes about may be different.
All right, now I'm going to tell you a little story, and it doesn't exactly relate to your video, and yet in a way it does, because it's a video that was in my brain. And back about 34 years ago. My husband, who is deceased now, but we were trying to figure out where our wedding ceremony was going to take place. And I could see it. I literally knew exactly what it looked like. And so I described it to him because this was in Chicago and I was living in St. Louis. And so I didn't know Chicago. I didn't know where this might be. And as I described it to him, he said, you know, I think I know where that is. And it was right after Christmas. So we made brunch reservations at this particular location. And as we drove up, it was identical to what I was seeing in my head. So I'd never been there. So it's not like from my past, unless it was a past life, but I don't think the building had been there long enough. And it was a Tudor brick, you know, it had the gardens and the, but I described it to a T and it was exactly as I saw it. So how would you explain that? That because, was a video I'd created maybe.
Because some of it does, some of the things that you, when you're tuned in, you do see stuff that's, they call it your vortex, but stuff that's actually coming to you. You can see it vibrationally, and it does have an image. Like people, I see people all the time in my head that I don't know who the hell they are. And that's scary, right? They, here come the white coats. They don't talk to me. It's just that I have vignettes, like daydreaming.
So was I in your people, was I in your image collection all those years ago?
I don't know. Maybe, you know, I see so many that I don't have these recognitions of people as they come in necessarily. Feeling, yes.
Yeah.
I will feel, you know, I will feel something. But it's, I've had those same things where something has shown up and I knew it looked exactly like I knew it was going to. And I think that's just you're really tuned in. There's so many pathways of things that sometimes we are tuned in enough to get it right, what's coming.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, we know, like some people meet their mate, and they know this is the person I'm going to be married to, and there's just no question, it's recognition. So I think that happens. But the good news is there are all these pathways that the universe has for you to get some to something or around something to get you there. And it may not always... in other words, we're not in charge of the how.
Right. But we have to be open.
You have to be open.
And to receive
it. Yeah, we really are not in charge of it. And what I'm coming to understand and trying to do a better job of accepting and allowing, and it is working for me, is to realize that they know, it knows, whatever you want to call it, the path of least resistance to get where I want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it can do a much better job of coordinating all of that than I can. All I need to stay focused on is what I really want to have happen and the energy behind why.
Right.
If I want to be self-sufficient, I want to be successful, I want to be creative, I want to be these things. If I focus on that, I want to be prosperous. You know, all of those things, creative is a big thing to me. Having autonomy in my creations is huge for me.
Yeah.
YouTube, perfect vehicle, right? Has been wonderful to me. Then it makes sense because I'm focused on the energy and they can figure out what video idea they give me an impulse to do. I'll give you an instance of this. I think we have just enough time for me to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
So YouTube is a struggle because there's so many videos. There's a 400 hours of video uploaded a minute.
Oh my gosh.
So it's ridiculous amount of video and most of it's crap.
Yeah.
You know. And so you got to stick with it a while. When you go into YouTube as a new creator, you have in your mind that you might get a viral video. Very rarely does it happen to anybody, like your trillions. So it's, I have that open as a possibility. But for me, the way things usually work, other than my book, that was like that, is a gradual getting there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I have to be ready to be ready to be ready to be ready to be ready, right?
Mm-hmm. And you keep posting.
So, yeah, and I keep posting, and the quality of the videos is there. And I have a friend whose channel blew up that took this same strategy because all of his videos were really good. People went back and watched them, and it just exploded because he didn't put crap out.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been the same trajectory, but not really getting very far unless I advertise my videos, which is fine. I mean, that's what marketing is for. I'm a marketer, so I'm not, you know, a couple of videos, I'll get that to get subscribers. But it's a slow way to go. So I'm sitting there, and I have a skincare channel. That's what I talk about, skincare and anti-aging and acne and all the problems that people have skin and how to deal with them. And I do reviews on skincare products and all this stuff. I have my own products, right? But, you know, it's icky, icky, icky. So there's a commercial comes on for this rose quartz. It's everything that would catch my attention. A rose quartz roller that helps improve facial tone. It's a flawless contour quartz roller. It's a facial roller. You probably saw that.
I've seen it, yeah.
So I saw it. It got my attention. I thought, that's interesting. I should review that. That's really interesting. I had the impulse. And then I was like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to, you know, it's not really a skincare product. So I kind of poo-pooed it a little bit, but it was I was interested. I got the impulse. I felt really strongly like I should do it, but then I got pushed away. So then I walk into a store, and there's a huge section of these things right in front of me. Flawless contour, facial roller. I'm like, God, they're going to sell a million of these things. It's like, there's 1,000 of these things on an end cap, and one falls off, of course. So I pick it up, and I look at it, and I'm like, oh, it's $20. I haven't done this kind of review before, so this is interesting to me. So I take it home, and I do the due diligence, and I research it, and I find out a lot of things about it, like that it improves spider veins in the face, which it doesn't even talk about as a benefit. You know, it's one of those mass-produced, as-seen-on-TV gadgets. So I test it out and stuff, and I'm noticing that it's helping because it's increasing circulation. Exactly. It's helping fade little broken veins, and it does a whole lot more stuff. It does okay with the stuff that it's presenting, but it does a whole lot more stuff than the stuff. So I have never done a review video like this ever. So I put it together. It's October, and you know, for the holidays are coming, and I thought, I'll make it kind of funny. Put a little Christmas. Too soon for Christmas. It's a cute video. It's about 10 minutes long. I put it out. Zoom. It zooms off. You know, I usually get maybe 50 videos, views a week on a video when it's brand new because it takes a while. This thing's at 1,000 views in like a week. And then people, now it's on Google. Now it's when people are... When people are searching for that on Google or Bing or wherever, my video is popping up.
Yeah, sure.
So now I'm getting traffic from off the platform. So that video to date didn't make my channel blow up, but it's been viral enough that it's made the most money ever, has the most views ever of any organic video I've ever done. Yeah, I've paid to get views. I've advertised, but this is organic. That thing is still pumping out views and comments and money to me.
Really?
So the whole point of that story is
you never know
the impulses. You don't know what they're going to look like.
Exactly.
I don't know which video. I know there will be a video that I do that will break through the algorithm even more than I already have. Could be the one I released today. We don't know.
Could be the one on my book.
Could be the one. There will be a video that will get in the algorithm and will take off, and then my channel will grow a lot quicker. I don't know which video that is.
Right.
And if I sit down and try to make it happen, those are the ones that don't do as well.
That one.
So I just have to do what I feel like is the next thing I need to do, to follow the impulses and trust that the universe knows the direction for me to go to have my YouTube channel be the level I want it to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the more I do that, the more successful I'm being on it.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to manufacture a video that goes viral. It doesn't work.
No.
You don't have the access to the cooperative components that the universe does to make that happen. They knew that if I did that video, it would put me in front of an audience on other platforms
that
I wouldn't have been on had I tried to manufacture something.
Right. And what I find interesting is that initially you didn't follow that impulse.
No.
You kind of thought about it and went,
that had to be right in my face.
Yeah, it had to drop off on
the floor. It had to be a huge thing. You couldn't miss it.
Right.
You know, you couldn't miss them.
Exactly.
So, and it's done really, really. And I've had 2 or 3 videos that I've done like that, where I felt really strongly I needed to do this. And I thought, well, okay, I'll do it. And they're doing the best. Like I did doing on Dr. Pimple Popper. If you all follow YouTube, you know who that is. She's got her own show on She pops zits for TV.
A living?
She's really a dermatologist. She does a lot of other things, but she's famous for that. YouTube famous for that. Now she's got her own show. But she hates doing them. She said, well, she didn't hate it, but sure she doesn't hate the money or the celebrity. But it just showed you know, she didn't think that was going to go viral. You just don't know.
You
she followed
know.
An impulse. She put it on there to help people, and it took off. My book, Acne Free in 3 Days, I had no clue. I put that out as a little tome. It was like 60 pages of an ebook to help you get better skin because it was part of a series of things that we were doing. And we literally overnight, the thing took off.
Wow.
And created a whole skin. It created everything.
Wow. All right. So our show is coming to a close. It just flies every time we're together.
Yep.
Please let people know again how they can get hold of you in case they want to do a video. And I highly recommend all of you consider having Chris do a video for you, because it will take your product or your business to another level. So, you know, consider getting in touch with him. Yeah. But how do they get a hold of you?
Very easy. Chris Gibson, G-I-B-S-O-N, live, L-I-V-E, at gmail.com.
Just email me. Chris Gibson Live at gmail.com.
And if you're into skincare, it's the same thing on YouTube.
Okay.
Chris Gibson Live. Subscribe.
All right. If anyone has listened to today's show and you feel like you know somebody who really needs to get this message, please go ahead and give them synergyconnectionradio.com. The shows are archived there. And Chris has been on, I think this is your third time. So Chris has been on a couple of times with me. You'll find his shows if you scroll through the show notes. And there's right now 7, soon to be 8 pages of shows that have been done in the last year and a half. I certainly hope you also check out the Boomer banner there and look at the kind of products that can help you live your best life by getting physically healthier through what you're consuming in terms of your diet. There's a lot of educational videos and blogs on that website. In the meantime, I hope everyone has a wonderful Saturday afternoon, and please join me again next week for the Synergy Connection show, and go out there and make this your best life. Thanks, everyone.